This is VOA News. I'm Marissa Milton. China is the number one counterintelligence threat to the United States. Testifying before the Senate Judiciary Committee, FBI Director Christopher Wray listed the top two threats to American security in this back and forth with Senator Lindsey Graham.
So, Mr. Chairman, I would say that there is no country that poses a more severe counterintelligence threat to this country right now than China.
And I say saying a lot.
That is saying a lot, and I don't say it lightly.
Who would be second?
Probably Russia.
The Chinese, he says, have been keeping the FBI busy.
What it is about, though, is about a country that is in a variety of ways through the Chinese government, the Chinese Communist Party, using not just government officials, but private sector entities, non-traditional collectors, et cetera, to steal their way up the economic ladder at our expense.
Asked about the upcoming 2020 U.S. elections, Wray said Moscow remains intent on interfering. He called Russia the number two counterintelligence threat to the United States. Former Foreign Secretary Boris Johnson won the contest to lead Britain's governing Conservative Party on Tuesday. He'll become prime minister on Wednesday, taking over from Theresa May. In his first words following the announcement, Johnson said that as prime minister, he'll deliver Brexit, unite the country, and defeat opposition Labour Party leader Jeremy Corbyn.
But if you look at the history of the last 200 years of this party's existence, you will see that it is we Conservatives who have had the best insights, I think, into human nature.
North Korea's state news KCNA says leader Kim Jong-un has inspected a large, newly built submarine, potentially signaling continued development of a submarine-launched ballistic missile program. You're listening to VOA News. A judge in Puerto Rico has issued search warrants for the phones of the U.S. territory's governor, Ricardo Rossello, and 11 of his political allies in connection with the texting scandal. The warrants were issued after at least 10 days of protests against the governor. Rossello has apologized, saying he will not seek a second term, but he has not resigned, as the protesters are demanding.
I've seen the protest. I've heard the people talk. I've had a process of introspection, and I did. I've made a decision. I'm not going to run. I'm not going to seek re-election. And that way I can focus on the job at hand.
Rossello has been under fire since Puerto Rico's Center for Investigative Journalism published nearly 900 pages of online group chats between him and several top aides and associates. The messages included misogynistic and homophobic slurs against Rossello's political opponents and also several profane messages laced with contempt for the victims of Hurricane Maria, which killed 3,000 people on the island in 2017. As Robert Mueller prepares to go before two House panels tomorrow, the Justice Department is telling him not to stray from his Russia report during his testimony. AP Washington correspondent Sagar Magani reports from the White House.
Mueller's a reluctant witness to start with.
The report is my testimony.
And the Justice Department's giving him cover, telling him in a letter to stick to the report, but also not discuss its redacted material, including information about uncharged third parties and executive privilege. The letter provides Mueller a formal directive he can cite if he gets questions tomorrow he doesn't want to answer. In his only statement after being appointed special counsel, Mueller told the nation he would not go beyond the report if he testified. The Justice Department's letter was in response to his request for guidance about limits on his testimony. Sagar Magani at the White House.
A week after military rulers and opposition parties inked an agreement for a three-year power-sharing government in Sudan, the United States' top envoy to Sudan says the path to a civilian government will be a long and complex one. Envoy Donald Booth said Tuesday in a conference call from Brussels that key details of the agreement must still be worked out, such as what functions will be assigned to different parts of the transitional government. That agreement follows 7 months of political protests, the ouster of longtime leader Omar al-Bashir, and many rounds of negotiations involving power players in the oil-rich nation. And the White House is standing by President Donald Trump's assertion that India's prime minister asked him to mediate the long-standing dispute between India and Pakistan over Kashmir, the Himalayan region divided between the two countries and claimed by both nations. India's foreign minister has told Parliament that the prime minister has made no such request. I'm Marissa Milton. This is VOA News.